Turn with me in God's holy word tonight to John chapter 19, the 19th chapter of the gospel according to John. We'll read together the first 22 verses. My text tonight is made up of verses 19 through 22, and that is the account in John of Jesus' superscription. The Word of God at John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" And Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And then beginning at verse 19, my text for tonight. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then saith the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not, 'The King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." There ends our reading of God's holy word tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thy word is quick and powerful and a discerner of the thoughts of every man's heart. May we receive thy word tonight. May we believe thy word. And may thy word be a means of grace in our lives. Give strength to thy servant so that he may carry out the duties of his office faithfully. And forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our text for tonight tells us that Pilate, the Roman governor, wrote a superscription and had that superscription affixed to Jesus' cross. That superscription, our text says, read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." All four gospel narratives record the superscription on Jesus' cross. However, the wording of the superscription is different in every one of the gospel accounts. No two are the same. According to Matthew, the superscription read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," Matthew 27, verse 37. Mark records the superscription as reading simply, "The King of the Jews," Mark 15, verse 26. Luke presents the superscription as, "This is the King of the Jews," Luke 23, verse 38. The higher critics of Holy Scripture have a heyday with these differences in the superscriptions. And their explanation is that obviously the scriptures are not inspired of God, that there are contradictions within the scriptures. But their accusation against the scriptures is false, the accusation of unbelief. In fact, the four different accounts of the superscription do not contradict each other, but complement each other. In the first place, the doctrine of divine inspiration would not be compromised in the least, because the superscriptions are recorded differently. Obviously, what all of the superscriptions have in common is the important thing, the most important thing: Jesus, the King of the Jews. Each of the gospel writers took down that part of the superscription, the fullest superscription would have been, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And now each of the gospel writers took down that part of the superscription that especially fit into the purpose of his gospel account. Remember that the gospel accounts complement each other. And remember that the gospel accounts were addressed to distinct groups of people in that day. Matthew's gospel account was written particularly for the Jews. And that's why there are many references in Matthew's gospel account to fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. The gospel according to Mark, the human writer, being John Mark, the one who accompanied the Apostle Paul on portions of his missionary journeys. The gospel, according to Mark, was written especially for the Romans, the ruling power of that day, the power in politics and in the sphere of law. Luke's gospel account was written for the Greeks, the empire that was replaced by the Roman Empire, the language of the Greeks, and many of the customs of the Greeks were still in place. And John wrote for the benefit of them all, demonstrating that whether Jew or Gentile, the fundamental truth of the gospel is that the eternal Son of God, the Word, become flesh, is the Savior of the elect. Besides the different purposes and specific audiences at which the gospel accounts were directed, there is also, of course, what we are told that the superscription was written, not in one, nor even two, but in three different languages. The superscription was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. And there may very well have been slight differences between the superscription as written in each of the different languages. But the fundamental truth of them all was that this Jesus, who is crucified, is the King of the Jews. The fact that Pilate wrote the superscription and had it put above Jesus' head, at least that's what we read in the gospel account in Matthew, tells us more than likely the kind of cross on which Jesus was crucified. There were different types of crosses, three main different types of crosses. There was the cross that was in the shape of a capital X, the cross pieces intersecting in the middle. There was the cross that was in the shape of a capital T, with the vertical piece butted up against the horizontal piece. And then there was also the cross that was in the shape of a lower case, a small T, with the two cross pieces intersecting so that the vertical piece extended a ways above the horizontal cross piece. And then that extended part of the cross, being a place on which the person could brace themselves at least with their head and shoulders, but that also provided a place above the head of the one who was being crucified for a superscription. The other kinds of crosses did not. This was the type of cross, more than likely, that our Savior was crucified on. There on Calvary, as he hung there, suspended from that cross, all who passed by saw the superscription above his head, proclaiming the truth that this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. I call your attention tonight to the superscription of the cross. Let's notice three things together. First of all, that it indicates a wicked rejection. Secondly, that it expresses a blessed reality. And finally, that it points to a universal kingship. Jesus is the king of the Jews. But Jesus is a rejected king. That clearly is the significance of that superscription above his head. He is not a king seated on a throne. He is not a king decked out in royal apparel. He is a king on a cross. What kind of a king is nailed to a cross? A king who is rejected. He was rejected, first of all, by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate was the one who gave Jesus over to the Jews to be crucified, though he knew that Jesus was innocent. Pontius Pilate was the one who wrote the superscription and commanded his soldiers to put that superscription above the head of Jesus. Certainly part of the explanation for Pilate's making the superscription was that he intended to mock the Jews. He despised the Jews. His hatred for the Jews was well known. Those Jews were a proud and arrogant people, rebellious and resentful of the Roman oppressor. He had his hands full just keeping order in Jerusalem. They were a constant thorn in his flesh. In order to provoke them, he had this superscription written above Jesus' cross. Here is your king, you Jews, you who think yourself to be so great a people. This is your king. He is a king on a cross. They wanted a king. They wanted once again a kingdom of their own. They wanted to be rid of Pontius Pilate and to be rid of the Roman government. These foreign legions occupying their beloved capital, Jerusalem. All right. Here is your king. He is a king on a cross. But besides that, in writing the superscription, Pilate was motivated by spite of the Jews. They had forced his hand. They had, as it were, put him in the position of choosing between two evils. The two evils being the condemnation of an innocent man or losing the friendship of the emperor, Caesar. And now he took his revenge on them. The title was, the superscription was, an act of revenge. Pontius Pilate getting his revenge on the Jews. All through Jesus' trial, this was the issue. Is he a king? Yes or no? They had insisted, we have no king, no king but Caesar. When Pilate finally brought Jesus forth, he had said, behold your king. And now once again, behold your king by the superscription, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But the superscription was also his rejection of Jesus. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that he did not deserve the death of the cross. He knew that it was for spite that the Jews had delivered Jesus up, that they had made false charges against Jesus. And so he writes the superscription, King of the Jews. There's something that comes out here that we should not fail to notice. Pilate and the Jews both hated Jesus. Both of them. But they also hated each other. And that's always the way it is. And that's the way it will be one day in the kingdom of Antichrist. For a little while, the nations will make their peace. For a little while, they will band together in their hatred of Christ and of his people and will persecute them to the death. But in the end, they who hate God also hate one another. And that hatred for one another cannot but, under the judgment of God, boil over. It does here, and it will again in the day of Antichrist, the kingdom of Antichrist itself breaking up because of that when Jesus comes again. Pilate had condemned Jesus. He had condemned him, and that condemnation was his rejection of Jesus. What's important to remember is that the superscription ordinarily contained the charge against the man who was being crucified. What law he had broken, what he had done to deserve crucifixion. That's why both Matthew and Mark refer to the superscription as an accusation. Matthew 27, verse 37, and set up over his head his accusation written. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In Mark 15, verse 26, and the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. What was that superscription? What was the accusation over Jesus' head? What was the crime that he had committed that made him deserving of death, capital punishment, and then the very worst form of capital punishment, crucifixion? Was the accusation written over his head? Jesus of Nazareth, mass murderer. Was the accusation written over his head? Jesus of Nazareth, the revolutionary. Was the accusation? Jesus of Nazareth, the thief and the kidnapper, the child molester. There was no such accusation written over Jesus' head. It wasn't an accusation. It wasn't an accusation at all. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. No crime that he committed, but simply a statement identifying who he was. The purpose of which was in the hour of his death, God's purpose of demonstrating before all that there was no accusation against Jesus. None at all. Several times that came up in the course of Jesus' trial. It came up in the course of his trial before the Jews. They had to hire false witnesses in order to gain a condemnation because he had not done anything worthy of condemnation. Pontius Pilate several times had indicated that Jesus was innocent. He found no fault in him. Publicly, he washed his hands in a basin of water as if that absolved him of the guilt of Jesus' death. And now Pilate, altogether unwittingly proclaims once more the innocence of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's important. That's absolutely fundamental. The wickedness of Pilate in his rejection of Jesus, in his contempt for the Jews, serves the higher purpose of God. The demonstration before all the world, all who passed by, and because it's in Scripture, for all people of all time, the innocence of his Son. The superscription is God's superscription. In that superscription, God declares his Son's perfect innocence. He does not deserve to die. And we need to know that truth. For only if he did not deserve to die, could he have died for you or for me. Fundamental to the truth concerning his crucifixion and the saving benefit of his crucifixion is the truth that he was innocently put to death. But the superscription also speaks loudly of Jesus' rejection at the hands of the Jews. He is their king. He is their king on a cross. Not the enemy has put him on that cross. Not the Roman authority, ultimately, but the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, the false church of that day, crucified and rejected Jesus. All during his earthly ministry, they had made that the point of their hatred against Jesus, the point of their rejection of him. His claim that he was the Son of God and therefore the perfect Son of God. His claim that he was the King, God's King, the King sent by God to establish God's kingdom. They had frustrated every attempt had the Jews to let Jesus go, even preferring Barabbas over Jesus. And in their rejection of Jesus, they made plain their wicked rejection of the Son of God. For the superscription not only declared that Pilate found no fault in him, but the superscription declared that the Jews could bring no accusation to Pilate against him. They had instigated his trial before Pilate. They had brought him to Pilate. They had brought him to Pilate knowing full well that he was not worthy of death, that he had done absolutely nothing to break the commandments of God. And especially in the wicked rejection of the Jews, the Jewish people and their leaders, Pilate was forced, at least the attempt was made, to force Pilate to change the superscription. Not a title, not the assertion of a fact, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, but change that superscription so that instead it says, he said, I am the King of the Jews. This was his claim. This was what he contended about himself. It wasn't true, of course. It wasn't true at all. And in their attempt to get Pilate to change the superscription, they made very clear their rejection of Jesus, their hatred of Jesus. But once again, because the superscription was God's superscription, God moved Pilate, in spite of himself, to reject the proposal of the Jews. What I have written, I have written. So the rejection of Jesus is complete. The world, through its leader, Pontius Pilate, the unbelieving and ungodly world, and the false and apostate church. The whole world has rejected Jesus the Christ. So it will be once more in the end of the ages when the wicked world and the false church will cooperate in their rejection of Christ, their persecution to the death of his people, for which rejection they will be judged. In spite of what Pilate wrote, in spite of his intention, a blessed reality is set forth in the superscription. For Jesus is the King. The fact of the matter is that the superscription expresses the truth, God's truth, because the superscription is God's superscription. Pilate's personal assessment of Jesus, notwithstanding. The Jews' wicked rejection of Jesus, notwithstanding. The superscription proclaims the truth. The superscription proclaimed the truth that Jesus is the King. We mustn't fail to see the truth of the superscription. We mustn't fail to see the hand of God writing out that superscription in all three of the languages. We mustn't fail to see God speaking through that superscription and God himself proclaiming to all the world the truth concerning his son, Jesus of Nazareth. The declaration of the superscription is that the one who is being crucified is the King of the Jews. Of him the Old Testament spoke repeatedly. It prophesied always of the King, the ruler who would come out of Bethlehem, the one who would be the son of David, born in David's city, Bethlehem, destined by God to sit on David's throne and to establish David's kingdom. Of him the angel had said to Mary, before he was born, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. By right, by birth, by the eternal appointment of God himself, Jesus is the King. But the superscription does more than declare a bare fact. The reality that Jesus is the King, the superscription is the explanation for the cross. For it is not in spite of the fact that he is the King that he is being crucified. It is because he is the King, because he is God's King, the King of God's people, that he must suffer and die. In this sense, the superscription was, in fact, the accusation written against him. The superscription was God's word to all the world, and it was his testimony to Jesus himself. Because I have made you the king, because I have made you the king of my elect, sinful people, as their king, you must die. You must die the death of crucifixion. Because he is the king, he is crucified. As the king, he delivers his people. From what do they need deliverance? Not from all the earthly troubles, the sicknesses, the sorrows, and the pain. Not any of those, nor all of them together. But that from which they need deliverance is the guilt of their sin and the wrath of God that they deserve on account of the guilt of their sin. The hell, the agony of the suffering of God's infinite and eternal wrath, that's what they deserved. But because he is the king, their king, their king by God's own appointment, he must die on that cross. Christ the King must deliver them from their real, their great enemy. They deserve all of their sufferings. They deserve the sicknesses and sorrows, the disappointments, the death. And more than that, they deserve hell, infinite and eternal wrath of God, because they are sinners. The kingdom of the King, therefore, the right that he has to establish his kingdom and to bring this people into his kingdom must be earned by his suffering and death on Calvary's cross. As the king, he defeats their worst enemy, the demons of hell, Satan himself. Had he left the world at the end of his ministry, not suffering what they deserve in their stead and on their behalf, the kingdom could never have been established. We could never be the citizens of that kingdom. We would have no right, none whatsoever, to the enjoyment of all the blessings of that kingdom. The kingdom must be established in his blood, and only by the spilling of his blood under God's wrath could the kingdom be established. That's what was happening that Good Friday afternoon. That's what was happening in the hours that Jesus hung there on that cross. That's what was happening when he went into the awful darkness. Jesus of Nazareth, King, on a cross. In that superscription, finally, his universal kingship, his universal rule is proclaimed. First of all, the superscription speaks of Jesus as the King of the Jews. Obviously, it is not God's intent that Jesus Christ should be the King of the Jews nationally, would establish an earthly kingdom, would sit on David's throne in Jerusalem and make the kingdom of Israel once again a glorious and earthly kingdom. If that were the case, it was a failure, a dismal failure. But Jesus is the King, not over the Jews physically and nationally. And if that had been the case, he had every opportunity to establish such a kingdom during the course of his life. But he is the King of those who are spiritually the people of God, the spiritual, the true Jews, the real seed of Jacob, the real children of Father Abraham, believers who are the children of God. Those who are believers and their spiritual seed, over them he rules. Over them he rules by his grace and by his Spirit. That's indicated in the superscription. For the superscription proclaims Jesus to be a particular king, not a kingdom of all men everywhere, not a greater than the Roman kingdom, but an altogether different kingdom whose citizens are particular, the spiritual Jews elected by God. And just for that reason, the Jesus over whom, the Jews over whom Jesus is the King are a people scattered over the face of the whole earth in the new dispensation. The church is gathered out of every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every people. And that was prophesied in the superscription. That belongs to the significance of that superscription, to the fact that that superscription, King of the Jews, was written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. All the languages of the peoples of the then known world. The whole world was included in the scope of the superscription because his rule as king would be over a people gathered out of all the nations of the world. The universality of Christ's rule is also seen in the fact that his rule extends to his enemies. And that belongs, too, to the gospel of the superscription. He is ruling over his enemies, and God is ruling over those enemies to accomplish his will, to establish his kingdom. He rules over Judas Iscariot, the traitor. He rules over the wicked leaders of the Jews and the people of the Jews. He rules over Annas, and he rules over Caiaphas. He rules over Pontius Pilate, and he rules over the mob and the masses. They do his will. They accomplish his purpose, the establishment of his kingdom in his own blood. That same rule Christ exercises still today. Friend and foe. The children of this world, false Christians. Members of his church, schismatics who leave the church. He rules over them all, for he is king. Whenever that rule and wherever that rule manifests itself, the church is gathered. In the home, in the state, in the congregation. But one day, whether willingly or in spite of themselves, all men will acknowledge Jesus, the King. Then every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Then every eye shall see him, not as the helpless babe in a manger, but as the King coming in his great glory, accompanied by the angels and the hosts of the redeemed. Jesus, the King of the Jews. Jesus, our King. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast made us according to thy electing grace and by the drawing of thy Holy Spirit, citizens of the kingdom of thy dear Son. We thank thee for the promise of thy word that because he is King, our place in his kingdom will always be preserved. Keep us, O God. Keep our children. Keep our churches. Forgive our sins. Dismiss us with thy blessing. For Jesus' sake.